Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual Insurance for auto, home, life, and business. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Well, I never will forget that floating bridge. Well, I never will forget that floating bridge.
In 1959, Greg and Duane Allman saw B.B. King play in Nashville. Hearing the music, feeling the energy, Duane turned to Greg and said, "We got to get into some of this." They did. The legendary Allman Brothers Band mixed blues, jazz, country, and more into powerful, howling southern rock. Now Greg Allman is back. He's going back to the blues with his first solo album in 14 years. This hour, On Point, Greg Allman sings the blues. And you can join the conversation. Have you followed Greg Allman's long career? Are you a fan of the old blues great Muddy Waters, B.B. King, Junior Wells? We're at 1-800-423-8255. It's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from New York City is Greg Allman, co-founder of the legendary Allman Brothers Band. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1995. And his new album, his first solo album in 14 years, is Low Country Blues. Greg Allman, welcome to On Point and congratulations on the album.
Hello, Jane.
We came in
Thank
with that,
you very much.
We came in with the song Floating Bridge, and I know it was originally done by Sleepy John Estes. Can you tell us about that song?
Well, these songs were gathered up by my producer, T-Bone Burnett, and somebody had given him a whole modem full of blues tunes. Anyway, this is one of them that I rearranged and went out there and recorded it.
And so, what was your vision for the album, Low Country Blues?
Oh well, from the very beginning, it was to do all blues and just real old blues that some people have never heard. A lot of people have never heard. And, you know, trying to bring them up to date a little bit and get a real good band and lay down the tracks, you know.
Did you grow up listening to the blues?
Well, I started real young. I started playing music when I was 10 years old. And I guess about the time I was 13 to 14, I got turned on to the blues. And I don't know what kind of music we were playing before that, probably Beach Boy type stuff. I don't know. We weren't playing much of anything. But anyhow, it was this one station that played at night. It was called WLAC out of Tennessee. And, excuse me, I have to sneeze.
Take your time. You
it
okay?
Went.
Okay, good.
I lost it. Okay. So, anyway.
So the radio station.
This station, yeah. WLAC, it was in Gallatin, Tennessee. And, it had Big John R. was the master of ceremonies, and they had another guy on there named Herman Grizzard, and he played jazz. Anyway, the thing didn't come on until about, well, I guess it was after nightfall. It was 9 o'clock, 9:30, and it wouldn't go off till about 4 a.m. And they played everything, man. I mean, they played Little Walter. We'll name them blues-wise. Just name it. I mean, I got turned on to Bobby Bland and little Milton Campbell, and just an array of people. Then, right about 2:30, this other DJ would come on, and this was Herman Grizzard, and he played jazz, and I got my first listen to a Hammond organ, and I just fell in love with the sound, but I didn't know what was making it. It was, I guess it was probably a year later that I found out and was shown what it was making that beautiful sound.
And the rest is history. Let me play another cut from Low Country Blues. I Can't Be Satisfied. It's a song by blues great Muddy Waters. Great song by the great Muddy Waters. How big of an influence on you was he?
Oh, really big one, even to this day. I mean, before I get ready to go play a concert, I will have this iPod and the iPod bass. And when I'm getting ready, I play, I've got like everything he ever recorded on my iPod, right? And so when I listen to one of three. Listen to Muddy, or Ray Charles. Sometimes Marvin Gaye, but then Sonny Boy Williamson. I've got all these things in my pod, you know, and it really gets me in the mood to go. I'm not already in the mood, but I mean that really gets me.
Put you over the top.
Yeah, you know, the engine warmed up.
I've read a lot about you and your life, and I must say you've had your share of tragedy, tragic deaths of family members and bandmates, and lifelong struggle with drug and alcohol addiction. I read in the Rolling Stone magazine, one critic said that you always sang like you wore a lifetime of scars. How do you think all of that has translated to your music, Greg Allman?
I don't know. There used to be a big question going around, did you have to have the blues to sing the blues? I mean, did you have to go through a lot of real heavy stuff and have a hard life and all that? Well, it's not true. But it helps.
It helps because?
It helps. Well, you've kind of been there and done that, you know. I mean, when you're singing about a woman that left you, you know, for another man, you kind of, you know, it seems like you put a little more belief into it, you know.
Your most recent struggle surrounds a liver transplant that you received in June. After a battle with hepatitis C. Can you tell us about that experience?
Oh, God. That'd take me all day, hon.
Yeah, I'm sure. It wasn't easy.
No, it wasn't. It took a lot of doing and a lot of pain.
And you stepped into the recording studio. Was it right before or right after you had the transplant?
I cut this record right before I had the transplant. Matter of fact, I left the studio and went, and they did a big readout on my liver and found these three tumors. And that's when they put me on the list for liver.
I guess it crossed your mind that this album, Low Country Blues, could have been a posthumous release, given how sick you were.
This is true. Yeah. It could have, but by the grace of God, I made it through, and they found me a real good liver, and everything's doing fine so far.
I read that you referred to this album as among the best things that you've ever recorded. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
How so?
Well, definitely on my own. I mean, there's some pretty powerful things I cut with the brothers, especially like Fillmore East.
But what about this, you think, resonated with you and with audiences?
And I'm so glad. I want to thank everybody out there that bought a record.
What is it about this album? What did you love about it?
The way it came off, I mean, it was just real laid back the whole way. I mean, no pun. It was fun, every facet of it, except the beginnings when they told me I couldn't bring my band.
Well, you know, we'll get into that after the break. I got to take a short break here. Greg Allman, stay with us. We're talking about his new album, Low Country Blues. And I want to go out with Devil Got My Woman from this album. Listeners, join us. Do you have a question for Greg Allman? Do you think the blues is still a vital component of American music? 1-800-423-8255. Back with much more after a break. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking this hour with Greg Allman, co-founder of the Allman Brothers Band, about his new solo album, Low Country Blues. And you can join the conversation. Have you listened to the album? What do you think of Greg Allman's interpretations of the blues classics? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. That's the big 1973 Allman Brothers hit, Ramblin' Man. Boy, it takes me back, Greg. Looking back, how do you think you've changed as a musician from the early days, those early days with the Allman Brothers Band?
Well, of course, you evolve and you get more picky and, you know, some, very little in my case, but some of the old, real old stuff you can pick through and say, man, if it was today, I wouldn't have cut that song, you know. Or, I mean, you know, you're your worst critic.
Yeah. And, so how do your solo projects differ, then, from your work with the Allman Brothers Band and the projects back then?
Well, they're not quite as chaotic. They're not really chaotic with the brothers, but they're just... They're a whole different setup, you know. Mm. I mean, with the brothers, we do it a certain way, and then, you know, we get to a certain place, and we talk it all over, and you know that there, and there's not too many of those places either where we not take a vote on stuff, but you know, just kind of listen to what everybody else says about it. And with mine, you know, if we come to a snag, you know, they all just look at me and say, what now, you know?
Let me get a caller in here, Greg Allman, because Joshua has a question for you from Central City, Kentucky. Hi, Joshua. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
Hi. Well, thank you. Go ahead.
Greg, my name is Joshua Coburn. Like she said, I'm here in Central City, Kentucky. I seen the Allman Brothers perform a couple years ago at a Bonnaroo Music Festival. And I was just wondering, I noticed you were on the set list this year to play at Bonnaroo, and I was just kind of wondering your thoughts and what you thought your experience was going to be this year at Bonnaroo.
I'm going to do my best, as usual.
I presume Bonnaroo's a music festival down south?
That's down in Tennessee, yes. I have a real scalding band. I mean, they're really good.
Here's a question from one of our listeners on Facebook, Greg. Matt Russell wants to know the highlight of your career so far. Any particular show, or I would add, music that stands out and why? And he says, thanks for the great music.
I think live show would have been the 40th anniversary, 2009, when we had all those different players come up. And, we had 13 nights. I guess we had 26. We had two a night because the show was in two parts. And it was just, I mean, we had Clapton and, you know, it's part of the ZZ Top. And, I mean, you name them, we had them. Levon Helm and Taj Mahal. It was the most fun. And, I mean, it seemed like nothing could go wrong. It's just one of those, all the biorhythms were on or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And everything was just jam up. I mean, really.
Greg Allman, let me read a couple of reviews from your new album, Low Country Blues. From Rolling Stone, it's the shades of blue in Allman's vocals, amplified by Burnett's austere, consciously antique production, that make Low Country Blues an eerie pleasure with quietly persistent emotional conviction. And this from the Boston Globe. When he sings surrounded by the straight-up, horn-fueled, electric blues sound, the results are interesting enough, but when he's accompanied by Burnett's rootsy signatures, ghostly reverberated guitar, gauzy brushed snare, thunking acoustic bass, the effect is mesmerizing. I've read where you've described yourself as sort of rooted in tradition and exploration, which those reviews, I think, point to. Does that sound about right to you?
That's about right.
Yeah.
That's very good. I hadn't read that.
Does this album play homage to any particular sound or any particular artist beside what we mentioned, that you're big influenced by Muddy Waters?
No, it's mostly just the blues, and it's also the way blues used to be recorded. I mean, we did a bunch of different little things that's not usually done in different studios I've been in before. But, I mean, it's I'm trying not to give out any secrets here, you know. I guess, you know, we used certain kinds of mics, and they looked like they came over on the Mayflower. I mean, they were really old.
I got so many callers here, Greg. Let me get them in.
To
Bob in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Jane. Hello, Greg. How are you?
Hi, well.
I'm fine.
Go ahead.
Right. I have a comment. He keeps talking, you know, about Muddy Waters and Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton was in Williamsburg at William Mary College a few years ago and had Muddy as his warm-up. And when the concert ended, all anybody talked about was Muddy Waters, very little about it. Eric Clapton. But my question is, he's influenced by Muddy Waters. How about guys like Little Walter, Sonny Boy Williamson, some of the real all-time great Chicago blues men who recorded on the Chess label? Were they an influence in your career, Greg?
Absolutely, man. I have all those Chess box sets and finally got them all corralled up together. And I've got the whole collection, you know, the one with Muddy and the one with Sonny Boy and the whole Chess deal. There's maybe a couple of them I don't have, but they're pretty obscure.
Bob, good question. Thanks for calling. Here's John in Barrie, Vermont. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
I'm a blues man myself. Actually, I was an early Doobie Brothers player. Howlin' Wolf and all those Delta Blues players, Lightnin' Hopkins, John Lee Hooker, open tuning, open G tuning, even ZZ Top talks about open tuning, and the Rolling Stones. Have you, has open tuning, open G tuning influenced your playing of the Delta Blues or the blues style at all?
Yeah, I've been using open G tuning for a long time. You mean 3Ds?
Right, 3D is G, B, and actually you can remove the sixth string of your guitar if you had to.
And so for the rest of us, open G tuning is what exactly?
Well, it's just a natural G when you hit it open.
Yeah?
And
then what? You just tune the band to that?
Well, it puts you in another whole ball game. I mean, it opens up another whole can of worms, because then when you make certain chords on it, I mean, it's usually used as a slide tuning. But now listen, I wrote Midnight Rider like that on G tuning. Mm-hmm.
John, thanks. Here's another call from John in Norwood, Mass. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
Hi.
Greg, I saw you in Schenectady, New York years ago. I think it was in 1984 or so. And you were playing with the Toler Brothers. It was your band. And a most amazing thing, you were playing a solo number on guitar. The string snapped. You didn't miss a beat. You kept your foot tapping. You kept singing. You kept strumming. And you changed the string within about 10 seconds. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting right there.
That's
that was
a great
the most
story.
Beautiful thing I have ever seen.
That's a great story, John. Thank you for calling. That's terrific. Here's a little bit, Greg Allman, of the epic 23-minute track Whipping Post from the 1971 Allman Brothers Band live album at Fillmore East, which Rolling Stone has called the finest live rock performance ever committed to vinyl. Here it is. Greg Allman, how important is the live performance to you as a musician? Snap strings sometimes and all.
it means a lot, you know, because it's there. It's in the moment. And the people are out there. And what comes off those people is really, really a different thing, especially in New York. but it's this, like, wave of energy that puts you on what we call it is the planet, this other planet. And there's, like I've been up on stage, walked up on stage before with an abscessed tooth, and it didn't hurt while I was playing. Of course, when I came off stage, it started back up again. But, I mean, it's just the planet of no pain.
Takes you to a different zone, a different place.
Yes, and you can get totally, totally wrapped up in it. And it's so good, you know, just let the music all intertwine all around in your head, man. It's very important to me.
Given all your health issues and everything that you're dealing with now, do you foresee going on the road again? I mean, is that part of the future for you?
You might say. I mean, you ought to see my schedule.
You ought to see it. It's booked. The answer is a big yes. Take it easy out there, my friend. Here's another call from Tedros from Boston. Nice to have you with us. Go ahead. You're on with Greg Allman.
Hello. Hi, Jane. Hi, Greg. I'm 30-year-old rock drummer, and the Allman Brothers That was the first show, rock concert, anything I ever went to. It was 1995 at Great Woods down in Mansfield, Massachusetts, and it was a great show. I have a couple questions. One, do you listen to any, or do you experience any hip-hop or rap music? And if you do, do you enjoy the bluesy kind of deep grooves that hip-hop has gone to these days? Because it's gotten very bluesy with the sounds.
Tedros, thank you. Greg Allman.
Some of the rhythms are real nice. I mean, sometimes they'll get a license and download, you know, download my songs and rap to them. You get a readout from that, you know, like four times a year. And I have to admit, I'm not much into rap.
Haven't heard much of it. Yeah.
No, I don't know much about it. And
well, maybe with Tedros' call, you'll hear a little more. Let's get to Jeff. He's in Norfolk, Virginia. Hi, Jeff. Glad you called.
Hey, Greg. How you doing, Jeff Mazie in Virginia? You've played here at the Allman Brothers quite a bit over the years. Derek Trux is a young guitar player you showcased oftentimes, but I wonder if there are any African-American young blues players today, like Marquise Knox, that you keep track of at all.
Jeff, thank you.
Like who?
Jeff, are you there? Do you hear any new up-and-coming African-American artists, like Marquise Knox, I think he mentioned, around the corner? Is that something that is on your radar screen?
Not really. Writers don't usually get out into the media, you know, and or, you know, get, I mean, not get out into it, but, you know, dig in and read all about it. I mean, I don't have a bunch of Rolling Stones laying around my house and all that.
It begs the bigger question, I think, Greg, as a white man. The blues originated in the African-American communities of the South. Does that matter? I mean, how do you see the sort of racial dynamics of the music and of rock and roll, really, for that matter?
Well, the one thing that I can tell you about that is that just like in the game of football and basketball and, you know, hockey, I guess, baseball, and music, there is no black and white, hardly. I mean, well, there's none, you know. I mean, I've never had to, that's one thing I'm really thankful for. I've never had to go through that whole black-white stop-the-fight thing. And I don't know, I've just, like when we first started, we used to get a lot of problem with having J-Mo in the band. And we just couldn't understand it. I definitely couldn't understand it. I was just so naive to the whole thing. I mean, yeah, I watch TV. I see what's going on. But none of it's going on with me.
Hmm. Let's get one more call in before the break. Frank is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Frank. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Greg. I'm glad to hear that you're doing what you're doing. I love the blues. And when you mentioned Gallatin, Tennessee, I believe it was, WLAC was the station. We used to listen to that at night. I was stationed in Florida back in the early 60s in the military. And we'd listen to him at night and all the blues that he was playing. Old Randy Record Shop. I don't know if you remember that name or not.
Yes, I do.
Randy Record Shop. And that's what got me hooked on it. And I went up and saw the old Gallatin sign where it said WLAC, Life and Casualty, I think it was. But I would like to hear more like Elmore James and old Slim Harpo and Lightning Slim and music like that, you know, if you ever get into something like that.
Frank, I'll ask Greg Allman on the other side of the break. I got to run here, but we're going to go out on Blind Man from Greg Allman's Low Country Blues. Much more with Greg Allman after this. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Let her go. had another woman walk out on me, but I will keep on trying.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking with Greg Allman about his new album, Low Country Blues. We're coming in with a song from the album Tears, Tears, Tears. Listeners, we'd love to have you join our conversation here. What do you want to hear from Greg Allman? Can you hear the influence of B.B. King, of Muddy Waters, and the Allman Brothers Band? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Greg, let me follow up with Frank, our caller before the break. He was talking about old Mississippi Delta blues, and he wanted to know if you plan on doing more Elmore James stuff, and I guess they have more harmonicas in the sound. I was curious if you were interested in doing that.
Probably so, man. I mean, this one was so much fun. I walked out of the place saying, I can't wait to start the next one. And I don't see why it shouldn't be blues.
Here's Mary in Plattsburgh, New York. Mary, uh-huh. Welcome. You're on with Greg Allman.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Greg. Greg, I just wanted to tell a little story about how you've affected my family in a multi-generational way. I sort of cut my teeth in the 70s with three older brothers who were complete devotees of the Allman Brothers, and remember warm summer nights with Fillmore East blaring out the windows. And not only, you know, did you affect them, but my mom just bought your new album. She's 85 years old, and I've got an 18-year-old son who's just started playing the blues, and I'm heading out to buy him the album today. So you've completely surrounded our family for many, many years, and I just can't say how great it's been for all of us. So thank you for your music.
Cross-generational.
Thank you so much.
Mary, thank you. That must be nice to hear, Greg, huh?
I'm telling you.
Here's another call from Matt in Malden, Massachusetts. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Jane. I have a couple questions. I respectfully would like to hear about Dwayne and his passing, because there's a lot of stuff out there. And if you want to pass over this, that's okay.
Matt, thank you. Dwayne, your brother, Greg, who died tragically, I believe, was it 1973?
It was 71, but, you know, let's talk about music. Let me say.
Okay. He prefers not to, Matt. Do you have another question?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there any chance you and Mr. Dickie Betts would ever play together again?
Dickie Betts, I'm reading here, the founding member of the Allman Brothers Band. Is that right?
One of the founding members.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a yes or a no?
I don't think so.
That's a no. Okay. All right. There you go, Matt. Thanks for calling. Here's Sarah in Manchester, Connecticut. Hi, Sarah. Welcome.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Greg. I just wanted to thank Mr. Allman for putting this album out now. I think that, especially the Depression era blues, the Blind Lemon guy? I like Bessie Smith, but I think that it really goes along with what our economy is doing now. I know the broker I get and the worse my bank account gets, the more I'm listening to blues. And the voices and the words, it's the same thing that we're feeling now. So it makes me feel good to know that other people have gotten through. I think it's the blues are a form of therapy.
Mm. Sarah, thanks.
Yeah, it really is.
Greg Allman, I read in the research about your rather high-profile marriage to the singer-actress Cher from 1975 to 1979. You had a son together. You tried a musical collaboration and even toured together, I think. How do you remember that period of your life and your music with her?
Y'all pick some subjects now. let me see. It was very nice. She was a very, very, very warm, very loving lady, and I loved her dearly. And I couldn't live in Beverly Hills. Okay, that's the main reason of what happened. Mm-hmm. And because, just like you said, high profile, everything in my life was high profile. I mean, I couldn't go to the grocery store without seeing my face on, like, all these terrible magazines, you know.
Life's better in Georgia.
Yeah. I tried to bring her back there with me. But on to another caller.
Here's Bob in Jericho, Vermont. Hi, Bob. Welcome.
Hey, Jane. Hey, Greg. How are you today?
All right.
Hey, Greg, I just saw your concert up here in Burlington with your new album, and it was really great. I'm so happy you put out that new album.
Thank you.
My question is about a show I saw with your solo band in the early 80s in New Haven, Connecticut, and you brought out a guy named Jim Shepley.
Yeah.
He played Stormy Monday. He played with his back to the audience, and he sounded so much like your brother. I was just floored. Can you just talk about who he was and how you met him and all that?
Yeah, we all grew up together. And he taught, I'd already gotten my first guitar, and I didn't play a hell of a lot on it yet. And then I met him. My brother met him. They were like in the same class. And I was one under. Therefore, you know how it is back then. You know, underclassmen are just kind of, you know, something that gets in the way. Anyhow, he introduced me to him, and he had this old, I forget what kind of guitar it was, but man, he turned me on to Jimmy Reed and taught me so many licks, man, that every time I come through Hartford, that's where he lives, Hartford. Where were we playing now?
Bob's down.
Oh, okay. Well, God bless him wherever he is, and I hope to see him again real soon.
Let's hear some more music, Greg. Here's another song from Low Country, Little by Little, written by Melvin London and popularized by Junior Wells in 1960. So there's a song, Greg Allman, written by Melvin London, popularized by Junior Wells in 1960. What gives a song like that staying power, do you think?
It's just it, the way it moves, I guess. You know, I mean, something like that will get you up out of bed, you know. A lot of people have cut that record. Lots of them.
And so how do you make yours different? How do you make your arrangement unique?
Oh, well, hopefully your voice is kind of unique, and the players around you are very unique, and then you can't miss.
Here's another call coming out of that from Anthony in Moodus, Connecticut. Hi, Anthony. Glad you called. Welcome.
Hi. How you doing, Greg? It's a pleasure
All
to
right.
talk to you. See you later. Hey, I know that Eric Clapton's crossed your path over the years, and your late brother Dwayne, when he sat in on the Layla sessions. I was wondering what the experience was like having Eric Clapton perform with you at the Beacon Theater a couple of years ago.
It was great. The fact that he flew all the way over here to do it is also great. And he's a real gentleman, real nice gentleman. And boy, can he play. And I don't know, our music and his, he just fits right in with us, of course. And like he did before, because before at the Layla sessions, At the end of them, the brothers came back and we did a big long jam. And I'm not sure if they released that or not. But we have it somewhere.
Well, here's another song from Low Country Blues. Greg, you've been writing credits for, I guess this is the one song on Low Country Blues that you've written credits for. It's Just Another Rider, which you wrote with longtime Allman Brothers Band guitarist Warren Haynes. Here's that. Greg Allman, what was the writing process like for that song, Just Another Rider?
We kind of put it down and picked it up and put it down and picked it up. we just went real slow on this one. And then Warren had started it and... I was doing this benefit thing with Michael J. Fox at the Waldorf, and he came up there. I had a piano up in my room, and we finished it up right there. And it's a good thing because I left not too long after that to go and record this record. So right about middle ways of the record, Mr. Burnett said, "Oh man, I'm sorry. I didn't ever even ask you." He said, "Do you have any songs in the old bag over there that you would like to record that you think would fit on this record?" And I said, "No. I got 2-3 things over here." And so I picked out that one, and he said, "Yeah, man, that'll go great." I showed it to the band, man, and they learned it in about time to do it, the time it took to play it. And then we laid it down, and there it is.
It's a great song and a great story. Here's AC from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, AC. Welcome to On Point with Greg Allman.
Hey, Jane. Hey, Greg. Been following you guys since Bill Maurice days. Down here in Nashville, Tennessee, was wanting to ask you, did you guys ever play Mother's Music Emporium? And also wanted to let you know that I have the soundboard recordings that's known as the Lost Warehouse Tapes from New Orleans, and that is probably some of the best live sound I've ever heard.
AC, thank you. Greg?
Well, all right. As far as Mother's Emporium, I think we did, man. And we, if it holds people and has electricity running to it, we probably played it.
Here's one last call from Zach, who's in Pageland, South Carolina. Hi, Zach. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, Greg. You remember the night I painted your, the Saturday I painted your guitar candy tangerine, and you had a gig that night, and it paint hadn't quite dried, and it started sliding off?
The sack. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you be?
Yeah. I couldn't wait to play that thing, and it just melted on me, man. That's great, right, man. I'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, I'll be back in Florida sometime soon. I'll get up with you.
All right, babe.
Thank you, Zach. Great call. So, Greg Almonds, do you see another album like Low Country Blues coming along? Maybe with another musical genre? I don't know, country or something else?
Yeah, they've quite a few people have approached me about doing a country record. And I was born right there in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why I learned to pick so fast. Let me see. I don't know. If the right kind of country songs were there, I would do it. I would attempt it anyway. And but, you know, the blues ain't run out yet.
Greg Almond, thank you so much for your time, and congratulations on the album.
Thank you, ma'am.
Greg Almond's new album is Low Country Blues. Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. We're going to go out with Checkin' My Baby from Low Country Blues. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Well, I'm sitting here drinking. He told me it helped me.